This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We may just have gotten something close to a guarantee of a cut in U.S. interest rates this month. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In a matter of minutes, the chief guardian of interest rates, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, is set to begin 2 days of testimony in Congress on the state of the economy. His prepared remarks were released this morning, and there remains a sense of wariness. Let's consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, who's here in New York today. Hi.
Good morning.
All right. So what in Chair Powell's prepared remarks would lead one to now absolutely expect an interest rate cut this month from the Fed?
I think what Chairman Powell came out and said was that they want to continue to be supportive of the economy. He's very much reaffirming that message that he gave us at the end of June, which led the market to believe that interest rate cuts are looming.
I got to say, though, some of the things that Chairman Powell highlighted in this prepared testimony are things that bear watching. He's a little bit worried about business investment. He's worried about Brexit in Europe. He's worried about the general health of the global economy.
He is worried about all those things, and for good reason. And all of those things are things that we can't control directly. They're going to impact us from outside. And that's a problem because it's starting to impact the confidence of business leaders. And so we saw business investment actually drop in this last quarter. Chairman Powell's very focused on that. And it's a vicious cycle where we could be talking ourselves into a slowdown because we're talking so much about concern over trade in China, what's going on in Europe, while the underlying fundamentals of the U.S. economy are still strong. That's the conundrum that Chairman Powell faces.
The head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors is Susan Schmidt here in the New York Bureau with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For 7 years straight, Boeing of the U.S. has been the top airplane maker in the world, but that winning stretch may be coming to an end after some new sales data. The BBC's Andrew Walker is following this for us. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, David.
So we have this new data from Boeing about the first half of this year. It has been a tough stretch for that company.
We have a decline of about a third in total aircraft deliveries compared with the same period last year, and in the process, slipping behind Airbus. And as you would expect, the big issue has been in deliveries of the 737s, the MAX being the one that was involved in the crashes in Ethiopia and Indonesia.
Now, Airbus of Europe is very happy to sell its airplanes, and that consortium could set a record for deliveries this year.
Yes, indeed, and they are stepping up the deliveries of their big competitor to the 737 MAX, the 320neo. It had the great advantage of having been designed from the start to cope with the larger engines that Boeing have been shifting to improve efficiency. And so Airbus are indeed, I think, looking at the prospect of some substantial increases in orders of this aircraft.
All right. The BBC's Andrew Walker with a snapshot of the aircraft industry globally. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
AT&T Time Warner is out with new details about its forthcoming video streaming service. It's called HBO Max, and it's set to launch next spring. It could end up being one of the more expensive services. Among the offerings include exclusive access to reruns of Friends. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this. Erica, nearly $16 every 4 weeks for Rachel, Monica, Chandler, Phoebe, Joey, who'd I forget? Ross.
Yep. And it's more than just Friends. It'll have stuff from HBO, Warner Brothers, CNN, The CW, and older shows, too, like Looney Tunes, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and Pretty Little Liars, which is also on Netflix. And we have producers like Greg Berlanti and Reese Witherspoon who are going to make original movies.
Okay, but Friends is getting top billing here. What's the big deal? What is this, a century since it first ran?
Yeah, something like that. Actually, it's pretty much like a quarter century. People really love Friends. They loved it when it first aired, and a whole new generation has grown to love it on Netflix. We talk a lot about all the original content on Netflix, but two of its most popular shows are The Office, which is also leaving for NBC's streaming service, and Friends.
And so this will be yet another subscription video service.
There are a lot of these out there. Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix are the big three. There's new ones coming from HBO Max, one from Disney, another from Apple. HBO Max is the only one pushing $20, but even for cheaper ones, there's probably a cap as to how much people are willing to pay for these services, how much we can all actually watch, and, you know, how many more passwords we want to remember.
All right, Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the difference between federal, state, and Native American nation laws regarding the hemp plant. Congress legalized hemp late last year in the Farm Bill. And a Lakota man on the Pine Ridge Reservation is taking advantage of this by planting this fibrous strain of the cannabis plant on 10 acres of his land. But he may have a problem moving the product off the reservation since hemp's illegal in the state of South Dakota. Jim Kent reports.
2 months after a blizzard hit the northern plains and flooded much of the Pine Ridge Reservation, I'm visiting Alex Whiteplume on a road that's finally mostly dry.
We're at Kiesel Park, just about a quarter mile away from my hemp fields, and all the roads are washed out here. You have to be in four-wheel, cross-country.
Or a horse.
Or a horse.
Whiteplume first planted hemp on his land in the year 2000 after the Oglala Sioux tribe had authorized hemp farming. But the crop wasn't legal in the U.S. Federal agents took 60,000 of Whiteplume's hemp plants that first year and raided Whiteplume again in 2001 and 2002.
They just abrogated our treaty like we don't exist.
Then in 2003, a federal court issued an order preventing Whiteplume from growing hemp. It was eventually rescinded. But hemp is legal now. Whiteplume intends to sell his latest crop to Evo Hemp in Colorado, which makes hemp creams and lotions. Ari Sherman is president of the company.
There's always slight concerns around government intervention, but pretty confident that they will be left alone because they do technically have that sovereign status.
Sherman's concerns come from Governor Kristi Noem's recent veto of legislation that would have legalized hemp in South Dakota. Lewis and Clark Law School professor Carmen Corcoran says Whiteplume may be able to grow hemp on the reservation, however.
As soon as he would leave the boundaries of the reservation, he becomes liable under South Dakota law and it would be illegal for him.
The Hemp Industries Association estimates that last year, farmers planted about 78,000 acres of hemp. It forecasts a 25% boost in production this year because of the change in federal law. In South Dakota, I'm Jim Kent for Marketplace.
We're also covering the record high price for rents in places like San Francisco, where the median or typical rent on a one-bedroom is now more than $3,700 a month. What do zoning rules have to do with that? The Marketplace Morning Report podcast, if you missed this on the air. In New York, where rents are also high, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.